I do look forward to the time when we can put the chairs back and get everybody back in here, and I'm sure that time will come as we go through these days. The Lord will bless, I'm sure. But it's good to see you this morning in the balcony and down here. It's good to have you with us. Dads, happy Father's Day. Dads, everybody raise your hand. Your dad. Dad. All right. Celebrating fatherhood today, and taking a look in God's Word at what He says about being a father, being a dad. Take your copy of God's Word and be turning to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And we're going to think about children and fathers today because they're connected. God's design for the home. In the late 1800s, early 1900s, there was a guy named Mahatma Gandhi in India. Many of you have heard of him, know of him, of history. He was a lawyer in India who led a peaceful transition, if you will, from British rule of India to independence. And he was known for his peaceful ways of leading change, leading civil change. And so he was did a great thing, and through 1948, I believe he was assassinated in New Delhi. But the point is, he was a man of renown. He had done well in the things of the world. He had achieved great things, had a name for himself. But guys, understand this. If we achieve all the things that the world says are great, and we have a reputation, and we become very successful, but we fail at home in our responsibilities as husbands and as fathers, then we have failed. Doesn't matter what we did in the world. The same was true of Gandhi. He had a son named Harilal, and Harilal didn't like his father. In the home, they had no relationship, and Harilal grew up to be an alcoholic and a prolific womanizer. And when Harilal got older, what he did is he began to attack his father through writings. He would attack everything that his father did, everything that Gandhi did, and he would write public publications and articles that targeted his father and what was going on in his life. And he so disliked his father, Gandhi being a Hindu, that he changed his religion to Islam and would sign the papers Abdullah just to further offend his father. Now again, we might ask the question, how could a man who was so gifted and so successful in life, if you will, have a home situation like that? And guys, what I want us to learn this morning is the home is where it starts. And our primary responsibility is in the home, not in the world. I know it's the macho thing to say, hey, I'm gonna go earn a paycheck and come home and support the family. But your family could live in a tent and do much better with you being a husband and a father than they can living in a mansion. There are three things, as we begin to look at this chapter in just a moment, there are three things that, as dads, we are responsible for bringing to the home. Three essential things. And I want you to think about this, guys, and we'll find it in what Paul says here. Number one, it is our biblical responsibility. God gave it to us to bring faith into the home. We are responsible for passing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the next generation. We are responsible in the home for teaching our children about God, teaching them who He is, the Creator, and that He loves us, and how to be saved. Our children should hear the gospel for the first time in the home, not outside the home. Everything that they hear outside the home should be measured by what mom and dad, and primarily the model that dad sets in the home to know Jesus Christ. I would suggest we have such disarray in culture today in large part because we failed to pass our faith to the next generation. Dads, God could lay that at our feet because it's our responsibility. You say, well, my wife is with the kids more during the day. No, listen to me. We cannot abdicate our responsibility to our wives just because we may have a job. Have you noticed that your wife might have a job and she doesn't abdicate her responsibilities either? We have the responsibility to teach our children and to be the standard setter, the banner bearer, if you will, in our home. Secondly, we have the responsibility not only to teach our children of faith to know Jesus Christ, but to teach them discipline. Now, discipline is not just correction. discipline is correction connected to learning. Discipline isn't just a hammer. It is a correcting of course with instruction. That responsibility falls to us. Our children are born with our sin nature. We passed it down to them. And so it's our responsibility to hone in or rein in that flesh and teach them about God while teaching them, listen to me, while teaching our children the art of self-discipline, the art of disciplining themselves, the art of controlling themselves. In other words, it's our responsibility to teach them how to walk in obedience to God's word. We have that responsibility. And then finally, not only do we teach them faith, not only do we teach them discipline, but we teach them respect for authority. In the home structure, there's God at the top. God's always at the top. And then in the home, it's mom and dad. Dad being responsible for the home. Mom, the helpmate, a team. And then there's the children. The children need to learn respect from mom and dad because ultimately, who do they have to respect? God. Now listen to me very carefully. I believe we have at least two generations of children now who are millennials and Gen Xers, if you're keeping up with that kind of stuff. I have to keep up with it, try to figure it out all the time. We'll just call them the last two generations that are growing into adulthood, okay? There's a large portion of that segment of society who have no respect for authority. And the reason for that is because it wasn't taught in the home. And again, God could lay that at the feet of dads. And see, here's where this goes. If a child grows up having no respect for mom and dad, no respect for God, then they're not going to have respect for civil authority. And nowhere is that seen more than in our public school system. I don't know. God bless you if you're a school teacher. If you work in the public school system, my hat is off to you if I wore a hat. It's off to you, okay? I know that in school, you're on an island all by yourself. The kids tell you they're not doing what you say, which I wouldn't deal with that very well right out of the chute. And then if you call the parents say, well, they don't have to do what you say, so you can't win. And again, God would lay that at the feet of us as dads. Now, some of you guys might be thinking, well, that's not fair. Well, if you hadn't figured out yet, life's not fair, okay? God said it's our responsibility. And so, guys, I want us to look at what Paul says here about fatherhood. I want to look at what he says here about our responsibility and our connection to our children. And understand this, the link in the chain of growing a family and teaching our children and them growing up to be godly men and women is directly connected to the dad. He is the key link in the chain. And Paul points that out to us. Now, first of all, Paul starts this passage with a word to the children. So if you're living in your mom and dad's house under their authority, this is for you. And Paul said that there's a connection here. Notice verses 1 through 3, Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, the first thing Paul said there to the children, because it's connected to the dad, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? He doesn't give a long theological discussion. He doesn't give you 10 reasons why you ought to obey. He just said, it's right. You know what that means? It is the moral, natural order of things. In other words, God designed the home that the children obey their parents because it's right. I've often told my children, I have four of them, I tell them all, it's always right to do right because it's right. You don't need another reason. It's the right thing to do. It's the correct thing to do. And listen, if God said it, it's the right thing to do. If God said to do it. And so he says to the children, listen, it is the right thing for you to obey your parents, to live under their authority, to do what they say. Listen, a rebellious child, and listen, children come in all different personalities. And if you've had children, you know this. Some are tougher than others, okay? Some children are easy. I mean, you look at them and they melt, okay? Okay, yeah, okay. Some children, you look at them and they look back at you, okay? I mean, you know, there are children that have different personalities. But the fact is, God commands that no matter how he created that child, they are to be taught to have self-discipline so that they do the right thing, so that they obey the authority of their parents and they live under the authority, particularly of dad. How contrary that is to our progressive, secular, humanistic society of today. I have read articles where supposedly highly educated people tell their children, you have rights and you need to tell your parents you have rights. Well, I'll tell you what rights you got, you come telling me that, okay? And they'll tell their kids, well, you know, you can sue your parents for your rights. That's foolishness. Because God said the children are to obey their parents. And then Paul takes it a step further. Listen to this, young people. He says, not only are you to obey your parents, but in verse 2 he says, honor your mom and dad. Now that's higher than obey. Okay, obey is simply, it's the right thing to do, so I'm going to do it. But honoring says, man, I respect the position God gave my mom and dad in my life, and so I'm going to honor them as my parents. I'm going to respect them. I'm going to treat them with respect. One of the worst things you can do, Dad, is allow your children in your home to treat you or your wife with disrespect. That goes downhill fast. You can ask any four of my kids, that's absolutely not allowed in our home. You can't yell at us. You can't talk back to us. You can't do that. It's not allowed here. Now listen, honoring. God said you are to honor. Now there's a promise with that. God, so that it may be well with you and live a long life. Now it's not a promise you're going to live be 100 years old if you obey your mom and dad and if you honor them. But I will tell you this, listen to me. If you have a mom and dad that love you, and you have a mom and dad who love Jesus, and they teach you, listen, they teach you the faith to have a relationship with Jesus Christ so that you're saved, and they teach you discipline, and they teach you respect, when you go out into life, more than likely you're going to be successful. And God's going to bless you because you left home with the right tools. See, so honor your mom and dad. Honor those who spend the time to invest in your life. And it means to love them, to respect them, and to obey them. And let me tell you something, kids, before we move to the dad's responsibility. Parents are not perfect. You say, I knew it. No, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. But God said, honor your mom and dad. I got news for you. You're not perfect either. Okay? And we know it, and we see it. But there should be mutual respect and mutual honor in the home. And God said, if you do that, he's going to bless your life. And you'll leave home with the tools that you need to be a godly man or woman and a successful man or woman in life. Now, Paul laid the foundation for us dads, guys, and we're going to spend the rest of our time on verse 4. He said, children, obey your parents, honor them, because it's commanded in the Decalogue. It's in the commandments, the Ten Commandments, honor your mom and dad. Now, dads, what's our responsibility? Our part is to enable them to be able to do that. Listen to me. If we don't do our part as dads, it's hard for them to obey. If we don't do our part as dads, it's hard for them to honor mom and dad. It's hard for them to do what God's told them to do if we make it difficult for them. Now, addressing that, notice verse 4. Here's what Paul said. And you fathers, meaning it's connected. By the way, here's what you children are supposed to do. Obey, honor. It's in the commandments. And you fathers, by the way, here's your part. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Let's deal with the first part. Dads, don't provoke your children to wrath. Now let me tell you, historically, how radical this command was that Paul gave to the church. Now remember, the church is in the first century. Rome controls everything. There was a policy, it was normal family policy in Rome, that the dad had absolute authority, absolute power. A dad could sell his children into slavery if he wanted to. A dad could put his children away. He, in many cases, according to Roman law, he had the power of life and death. He could have them executed. There was this thing called patria potesta. And when a baby was born, they would bring it to the father, and they would present the baby to the father in Roman society. And if the father took the baby and embraced it, then the family, the baby was added to the family and it was received. But if the dad turned his back, looked at the baby and saw something about it he didn't like, or it was a girl instead of a boy or anything like that, he could reject the baby. Then the baby was taken to a public square and laid there, a newborn baby, and left to either die or for someone to pick it up. Now, various groups historically would go by and pick up those babies who were left in the public square, and some for nefarious purposes. If it was a girl baby, a lot of the brothels would pick them up and take them and raise them in the brothel. Now listen, that's the society that Paul's writing into, and here's what he's saying. You guys who are now saved and you know Jesus Christ, you guys who now have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, you got to be different from that. That's not how you lead in your family, and that's not what you do as a godly father in the home. He said the first thing you do is do not provoke your children to wrath. Do not frustrate them, as Paul said to the church in Colossae. Yes, the father sets the standard, and we set discipline in the home, and we control our children for their own good, and we teach them self-discipline, and we teach them to respect, but we don't do it in a way that frustrates them. We don't do it in a way that provokes them to be angry. Let me give you some ways that we could frustrate our children, guys. And probably every man in this room has been guilty of one of these at one time or another. I know I have. One of the first ways that we can frustrate our children is to lose our temper with them. Lose our temper with them. Be aggravated by them. In fact, I can let you in on a little secret here if you hadn't already figured it out. If your children aggravate you, they're going to figure out that they're aggravating you. And one of two things is going to happen. They're going to aggravate you some more because they figured out they can do it. Or two, they're going to be really hurt that you're aggravated with them and you don't want to put up with them. Either way, we can frustrate our children by losing our temper with them. When we discipline or deal with our children emotionally, it never turns out well. I've been in a grocery store before, and three aisles over, I can hear a mama yelling at her kid. I told you, and the rest of it goes on from there. If you yell at your kids all the time, listen to me, you know what they start hearing? Why, 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 why? They're not going to listen to you. If you yell at your kids all the time, they're just going to get used to it and go, well, there he goes again, or there she goes again. They're just yelling. And to be yelled at all the time is frustrating, isn't it? I don't like it when people yell at me. I don't like it if people's voice gets loud. The children are people. They don't like it either. We can frustrate our children by yelling at them all the time. Now, in my home, the way I preferred it with all four of my kids is I'm one of those guys I want to say it one time in a normal way, and I want you moving by the time the last syllable comes out of my mouth. That's what I want to have. I'm not going to yell. I'm just going to say what needs to happen. And if you act like you ain't listening to me, I'm going to help you listen. Don't need to yell. We don't need to get all upset. We don't need to be emotional about it. I'm just going to help you listen. Listen. It's the home, guys, is so much better if we're not yelling and frustrating the kids and operating out of emotion. Our emotions are the shallowest part of our being. When we operate out of emotions, nothing good happens. And our children know that. So don't frustrate our kids by being violent with them, by being angry and being emotional. And it's easy to be emotional. Now, let me give you an illustration. You've been on a long road trip, the kids are in the back, and they're lifting the roof off the car, and it's driving you nuts. And so you say to them, knock it off and sit down. And after 15 minutes, they're just louder. And your head explodes. That ever happen? Everybody in here goes, oh, yeah, man, it happened yesterday. Whoa. You pull off side of the road and throw them in the lake or something. I don't know, whatever. Listen, we have to be careful not to frustrate them by acting that way, by being a dad who does it. Because, guys, here's the danger. If I respond to my children like that, I'm setting the tone in the home. I'm setting how the home's going to be. And I don't want our home to be that way. I want our home to be a little corner of heaven as much as it can be. I want it to be quiet there and peaceful. I want us to be able to go there and relax, to come out of the world in a godly place. And if we're yelling and hollering, we don't create that. Secondly, the second way we frustrate or make our children angry is being unreasonable or capricious in our in our discipline. Listen, if we're like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the kid doesn't know if I'm in a good mood or a bad mood when I come home, it's going to drive them crazy. You ever work for somebody like that? You know, you go to work and I wonder what kind of mood the boss is in today, because whatever kind of mood they're in means that's the kind of day I'm going to have, because I don't know how they're going to respond to anything I say. Can you imagine living in a home like that? You say, yeah, my husband's like that, or my wife's like, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Your kids see that. And they're going to know if I'm unfair with the way I adjudicate the home, they know that. If I treat one child different than I treat the other one, they certainly see it. That'll frustrate a child. That'll make them angry. If we lay unreasonable requirements on our children, that'll frustrate them. We have to prayerfully be careful, dads, not to do that. And see, here's the balance, guys. And I'm a retired military guy, and I am as type A as it gets. Do what I say, you know, do it yesterday, all that kind of stuff, right? And I have to rein myself in on that, because they're not in the military. They're not, and they're children. And so I had to learn to do that. Hey, I'll confess this. Knowing what I know now about raising kids, if I could go back and do it over, man, I'd kill it. But my first two were the experiment, all right? And I have to apologize to them sometimes. I say, oh, I didn't do that very well. But we can't frustrate them by being willy-nilly all over the place. And then finally, let me say this about frustrating our children. And I was guilty of this as well. Dads, the balance we have to strike, and it's hard. We are responsible, dads, biblically, right here, to set the tone in the home of discipline, of order, and how the home's going to be. But we can be too strict. We can be too hard. In other words, we can make it not fun to be there. And we don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. In other words, we can set discipline in the home to a point where we don't frustrate them, where we don't make them angry because it's so restricted on them. Let me tell you something you already know. And I was thinking through this and praying about it this week and how to say these things, because it really speaks to your heart as a dad that you want to do right, but you don't want to overdo it, okay? All of our children are different. It's funny how two or three or four kids can come out of the same couple and be absolutely different from one another. I mean, isn't that amazing that God would create all the difference among the children? Some of our children are scholarly, and some of them are the antithesis of that. They're not scholarly, okay? They're not a scholarly bone in their body. As a dad, you know what we have to figure out? Well, this one is scholarly and, you know, has no problem in school. And this one, it's going to be a long 12 years. I mean, you just know that, okay? You just know that. No reason to be mad about that. No reason to be overly hard on that kid. You just know that when you deal with that child, you've got to, as a dad, you have to adjust to that, okay? Some of our children are coordinated and some are not. Our oldest daughter, and I told her this morning, I told this story, if she's watching, I love you, and I'm going to tell this story. When she's uncoordinated. Now, she can sing like nobody's business. If you ever heard her sing, that's her gift, because she sings. But she's not going to fix your car, I'm just going to tell you that. When she's a kid, if there was something in the floor, she'd trip over it and she'd fall. I'd kid you not. So she's playing in the playroom, she falls over this rocky, horsey thing, and she comes to me and goes, Daddy, my hand hurts. Rub some dirt on it, it'd be okay. You know what I mean? It's got kind of, so I took her hand and I went, looks okay to me. The next day it's this big. And I said, that's probably got something wrong with it. So we took her to the doctor and it was broken three places. Man, I feel bad. I was like, and I did all this to it while it was all broke, you know? I mean, you know how some kid ain't go, well, it's still bending. It looks all right. I mean, you're still bending. I mean, so some kids are like really coordinated and they ride a bicycle fast and they can play baseball, and others, you know, they trip over a blade of grass, right? You gotta know that. And I've seen dads, listen, my oldest boy played baseball And I saw dads trying to live vicariously through their sons out there, just treating them terrible. Guys, you just got to know your kids. They're not all going to, you know, play professional baseball or football. Hey, all of our children, listen to this now. Some of our children, dads, are really introspective. They're kind of like introverts. Man, they're not really outgoing, and they don't say a lot. Listen, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with them. It just means that's the way God made them. So you as a dad, I as a dad, we got to know that, and we have to deal with them where they are. And here's the biggie. Some children have good, strong attention spans, meaning they can listen to you and look at you and understand what you're saying. And some children have no attention span, right? I mean, you're talking to them and they're looking everywhere. That really drives me crazy, by the way. And so sometimes I would say, hey, they look at you. I go, look at me right here. Don't look nowhere else. Look at me. Look at my eyes. And you grab, you know, you get their attention and you talk to them, okay? God, I'm saying all this, dads, to say this. Paul said, don't frustrate your children. We have to be aware of these things as dads and not have unreasonable expectations on children who that's not their nature. That's not who they are. And we have to meet them where they are. And most importantly, listen to me, we have to love them where they are and for who they are and accept them for who they are. And don't put some unreasonable expectation on them that they can never achieve. Because you know what that'll do? That'll frustrate the daylights out of them. That'll make them feel unworthy, like, man, I don't measure up. No, you measure up just fine because God made you for who you are. You measure up just fine. But we got to help them be successful at what they're strong at and love them and encourage them, okay? Now, he said, don't make them angry. Don't discourage them. And it's easy for us to be too hard on them. But listen, second part that we'll finish with is this. He said, then it's our responsibility, dads, to train them and bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Now, that's important. Now, listen. Just as we're commanded not to frustrate them and not make them angry, on the positive side, we are commanded to teach them and bring them up to know God. Now, here's what that means. Biblical instruction in the home is dad's responsibility. You say, yeah, but my wife homeschools my kids and she's with them. Listen to me. I don't care if you got to go out and work all day and come home and bring the check in every Friday. You can't abdicate your God-given responsibility to set the spiritual standard in the home. You can't do it. If you're a dad, you are responsible to God to set the spiritual training in the home. You're responsible to teach those children biblical truths so that they learn. You are responsible to hold the standard up. And let me tell you, dads, listen to me. It's not only about telling them, about instructing them, about reading the Bible to them, about applying biblical principle to world events. It's about showing them. If your child comes home from school and starts asking a bunch of questions about something they heard at school that they're not old enough to hear about yet, or whatever the case may be, dad, you got to sit down with your kids and you got to take a biblical worldview and you have to say, let me tell you what God says about this area of life. And you have to teach them. And they have to know, hey, my dad said, this is what God's word says and this is how it is. And they're going to listen to you. And dads, listen to me. If you build credibility with your children when they're little, and you have to do it when they're little or you can forget it. If you build credibility with your children when they're little, when they get older, they'll listen to you. When they get older, they'll respect you because you've proven over the years from when they were little that you have integrity and that what you're saying is right, which connects to the modeling part. Listen to me, dads. This stuff's hard, isn't it? Man. You can't tell them and then not do it. Because if you tell them and you don't do it, you might as well not tell them. Children are not stupid. If you tell them, hey, this is what God's word said, this is how you're supposed to live life, this is what you're supposed to do, and then you don't do it, they're not going to believe you. They're not going to think it's important to you, so it ain't going to be important to them. I'll tell you something. You think about when you were a child. I know from my dad it was true. My dad could have done anything. He could have been anything, and before my dad got saved, he was a lot of things, I could tell you. But he was my dad, and man, I looked up to him. And as a boy, I wanted to be like my dad. There have been a boy not want to be like his dad? Now, you might get older and figure out, eh, I don't want to be like that. But when you're a boy, you're like, man, I'm doing everything my dad does. If my dad walks this way, that's the way I'm walking. If he sits on the tailgate of the truck that way, that's how I'm sitting on the tailgate of the truck. Whatever my dad did, I wanted to do it. So dads, listen, you teach them. You say, hey, there's a God whom we're responsible to. You need to know him. You need to honor him and honor his word. Then you better honor his word, and you better know him, and you better live for him. Well, your children are going to know you're lying. They're going to know there's no integrity in you. That's just the truth. Tell you to leave it. So we teach them, and then we model it for them. And guys, let me give you the last one. You got to love your children. I don't know what it is about the macho thing with guys, you know, especially with your sons. Go up and hug them and tell them that you love them. Your children want to hear you say that you love them. They want to hear that. You say, well, they know. I take care of them. I feed them 3 times a day, and I wouldn't love them. If I didn't love them, I wouldn't feed them. No, they ain't the same, okay? It's kind of like, you know, I heard a guy say, he told his wife, when I got married, I told you I love you. If it ever changes, I'll let you know. That just doesn't work, okay? I'm just telling you, it just doesn't work. She isn't going to put up with that. Well, your children are no different. Your children want to hear you say, I love you. I'll tell you another thing your children want to hear you say. They want to hear you say, man, I'm proud of you. Whatever they're doing, I mean, as long as it isn't wrong. I mean, if it's wrong, you correct them and say, hey, you know, get straightened out. But whatever it is they do in life, if they're a painter, I don't know the first thing about painting, but if one of my kids says, man, I'm going to be an artist, okay. I don't know nothing about being an artist, but I'll help you, whatever. And they paint a picture, even if I don't know what it is. Man, I'm proud of you. That is, whatever that's supposed to be, it looks good. That's good. I mean, the point is, as a dad, our kids are going to be successful at what God's called them to do, and they need our support. They need us to love them. They need us to encourage them. And they need to know that we're proud of what they're doing, that we're proud of what God's called them to do, of what they're able to do. Dads, it's easy to want to take our children and say, well, now you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And I, you know, for the boys, I was in the military, to say to my two boys, you're going in the military. I've told both of them, look, if you want to go in the military, that's completely up to you. Whatever you want to be, a this or a that or whatever you want to start, I'm going to be proud of you no matter what you choose to do. That's what I've told both of them. Told my daughters, whatever you want to do, except when you date a boy, he's got to come see me first. That's not negotiable. I said, whatever you want to do in life, you do that. That's fine. I love you. I'll support you, you know. Now, I did tell the boys more than the girls. I told the boys, whatever it is you choose to do, you got to feed yourself and get your own house. So you got to play that in there, okay? I mean, you do what you want to do, but I ain't feeding you till you're 40 years old. So figure it out, okay? But here's the point. Let me close with this. In society today, we've lost touch with what God said about being a father. And because of that, we're suffering for it. Because of that, we've got young people wandering around with no direction, no faith, no self-discipline, no respect for authority, because as dads, we failed. So let me encourage you today, guys, as we close. In your sphere of influence, in your home, with your children, get on your knees before God. I say, God, man, I can't fix everybody. I can't raise everybody's kids. But this one you gave me, or these two, or these three, or these four, or however many you have, God, I want to do right by this group right here. And if all the dads would do that, guess what? We'd have the foundation of society, the homes would be right, and the children would be right. But as always in society, where's it got to start? It has to start in the church. It has to start in God's church, among his people. So I encourage you today, online, here today, let's commit ourselves to being the dads God called us to be. And here's where it starts, guys. You ready? It starts with a personal saving relationship with Jesus. You have no hope. Listen to me. Listen to me right here. You have no hope, no chance of being the dad that God wants you to be without a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. No chance. No chance in your flesh, no possibility in your human nature and your sinfulness can you ever successfully raise children like God wants you to raise them as a dad unless you have a saving relationship with Him. So I want to invite you today, dads. Maybe there's a dad here and you're saying, boy, if I could go back, I could do it better. Amen. I'm with you. Like I said, my first two, if I could go back and knowing what I know now, I'd kill it as a dad because I messed it up a lot in the early part. But listen, God will help you, and God will help you do that if you have a relationship with Him. Do you know that you're saved this morning? Moms, I don't want to leave you out. You know, God created marriage to be the building block of all societies. You have husband and wife, helpmate together, one in Christ, helping one another, completing one another. Listen, do you know Jesus Christ? Can you pray for your husband? Do you know God? Can you lift him up before the Lord and say, God, help him be the dad that he's supposed to be? Because being a dad's hard. Can you pray for him and ask God to help him? If you need Jesus today, would you confess your sin and ask him to save you today? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. And God, it is a high calling to have children and parent them and to be a dad and to be a mom. God, the standard for being a dad, setting the tone of the home and being the one that sets the boundaries, the discipline of the home and the structure of the home and teaching of faith and discipline and respect for authority. God, those are hard things. And God, it's difficult and it's challenging to deal with our children and each of their individual and several personalities and to be able to love them where they are. God, we can only do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I ask this morning as dads that God, you would help us to get on our face before you and ask for your help. God, bless our families. Bless the families represented today, the husbands and wives, the moms and dads. Bless the children, God. May they learn. May they come to know you. And God, may you help us to raise a generation, God, to carry the flag of the faith into the next generation. Maybe there's somebody here today, Lord, who's never confessed their sin and asked you to save them. In the quietness of this moment, maybe online, maybe here in this building, they just need to say to you, God, I'm sorry for my sin. And God, there's a lot of areas in life I've made a hash out of it. I've messed it all up, and I'm sorry. God, forgive me and save me right now. Give me a fresh start. God, cleanse me on the inside and save my soul. God, you'll save anybody who asks. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a verse. If I can pray with you or help you in any way, I'll be down front. Let's stand together.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Great to see you here this morning, and I tell you, my heart does long for us all getting back together again. That song Rebecca sang is just right. Well, we're ready to regather, but we're going to continue to be safe, and as God opens the door, we will. I'm glad you're here, and look forward to having a great day today with your family. So let's pray as we go. Father, thank you again for today as we celebrate fathers. God, give us a great afternoon as we spend time with family and friends, and bring us back again next week as we worship you together. In Jesus' name, amen.